All right, sir. You're next.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Hollis Provins. I'm a permanent resident of Lewis in the Retreat at Love Creek development. I reside with my wonderful wife and 22-year-old son, a recent UDEL graduate.
Are you representing a group or yourself, sir?
I'm with the Love Creek. I was asked to speak about environmental issues.
Okay, we're going to let you go ahead, but what I want is I want people who are representing a group. When we're done with them, we'll get with the individuals. But you go ahead. You're already here.
Sorry.
And one thing, too, just before you begin, any of the speakers, Mr. Lank, is there the list up on the podium?
There is, and I'm
okay, just for anybody that comes up, make sure so that Mr. Lank can get the names in the minutes, because we do take down minutes, and they're in the county's record. Make sure that you do put your name on that list. Thanks. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, you live there with your wonderful wife. Go ahead.
Moving on.
And 22-year-old.
So. And 22-year-old.
You did great.
Okay, in case you think we're not
listening. All right. Beat me up. Sorry.
We're hearing every word, and it's all being recorded, too.
It is our belief that moving forward with the proposed Love Creek RV resort and campground would be detrimental to the community that we are proud to call home and an unnecessary loss of critical forested wetland habitat. We moved to Delaware upon my retirement after extensive two-year multi-state search. Our objective, like most of our neighbors, was safety, seclusion, and community in an area rich with natural beauty. My college degree is in wildlife biology, and my love of nature drives me to volunteer with both DNRAC and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I found the October 12, 2012, PLUS developer response to the natural and cultural resource concerns expressed by DNRAC indicative of a bulldozer mentality without understanding of the sensitive nature of the property. I understand that DNRAC is planning a rebuttal, and I urge this commission to honor those comments with all professionalism. The tidal wetlands and marshes along Love Creek are fragile and easily impacted by overuse. The forested wetlands of the proposed development site contain unique freshwater features best described in a DNRAC report. Quote, perhaps Delaware's most unique and important non-tidal wetland resource is the Coastal Plain Seasonal Pond. Coastal Plain Seasonal Ponds are home to many state rare plants and serve as critical breeding areas for salamanders, toads, and frogs. Coastal plain seasonal ponds are not permanent bodies of water. And to clarify, I'm not just referring to Welsh's Pond. There are other coastal plain ponds there. One of the rarest grasses in the world, the Hurst Brothers panic grass, is known from only 6 populations worldwide and includes a population in the Inland Bays regions of Sussex County. Beyond the tidal marsh and the retention ponds that will be created, the PLUS developer response fails to fully recognize the wetlands natures of the property. Please see the attached Delmarva Bay density analysis from the Nature Conservancy that is included in my full comments, and note that Love Creek is a highlighted area. An overhead satellite image shows a continuous corridor with a canopy connecting a larger ecosystem. Native creatures use this corridor as a means to maintain biodiversity and healthy populations. I know that DNRAC has and will enumerate the existing state-listed threatened endangered species. And I also know that the environment is a prime habitat for additional species such as swamp pink, a federally protected plant. The recreational use pressure on the fragile environment of both Love Creek and the forested wetland will be significant. I kayak Love Creek and enjoy its beauty, but I know full well that the mudflats extend well beyond the small channel. There is not enough creek to support multitudes of users. I highlight this because I've seen firsthand what campers can do to the forest, especially when on-site recreational opportunities are inadequate. I retired from the National Park Service and have worked many years in parks with campgrounds and hiking trails. Renters, no matter how well educated, tend to lack respect for the resource. No disrespect intended.
None taken.
This lack of respect leads to limbless campground trees, social trails into fragile areas, littered waterways, compacted, denuded soils, the complete annihilation of reptiles and amphibians, increased fire danger, and the removal of all small flowering plants. In national parks, we curtail these activities through SEPTED, crime prevention through environmental design. In other words, campgrounds were located in dry areas and higher environments. They were located near trailheads or near waterways capable of withstanding heavy use. We supplemented these protection measures with stringent federal regulations and consistent enforcement. In our world, the prime customer was the resource, not the user. We balanced use with preservation, not at the detriment of the resource. The RV campground is a commercial venture, and the security guards will be there to support that commercial program first and foremost. My preference would be to leave the forested wetland and tidal marsh undisturbed, but I understand that this is private property with commercial value. Zoning or maintaining the zoning for single-family homes will place residents in an environment that they have a vested interest to protect. Minimizing the population density will reduce the negative impacts on the environment. My sincere hope is that the elected officials of Sussex County will act as the protectors of as much of these unique and fragile places as possible. And I thank you for your service.
All right, sir, we thank you. All right, sir, you're next.
I'll be happy to defer to a community we haven't heard from first.
Oh, okay, yeah. Is there any other association presidents or people who are specifically representing a group? Okay, you must be the last one.
So. I wasn't going to speak tonight. I came here, I preside over Sandy. My name's Tristan Engel. I live in the Sandy Bray development. I preside over the association, the board. I wasn't going to speak tonight. I came here to gain information and take back to our association so they could be informed about what's impacting down the road.
But something has impelled you to rise
yes,
up.
Yes, I'm very disheartened by the generality of the applicants speak in their consistent use of our intent. I feel that a project of this magnitude, our intent is nowhere should be found in this context. It should be specifics as when, and I'm sorry who asked the question about the months, but April 1st to October 31st.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ross.
Those details should be given to the community and to you as the commission, not our intent. Our intent is for them to stay throughout the season, not a weekend or a weekly rental. And it frustrates me that they did not bring to the table these details. There was an engineer or develop.
That's all right. Go ahead.
You know, he did work for DelDOT. You know, if you have read in the papers, and I'm understanding DelDOT's a long-term entity in years, but there has been changes in DelDOT. So, you know, I did work for DelDOT. I'm talking to that. Now I can talk to that because I did work for DelDOT. And then the applicant referred to another co-applicant as... could you put on your realtor hat and speak to the
his property values.
Property values. Thank you. And I'm sorry. I did not plan to speak at all, but I'm just very frustrated. I appreciate your time. But I do have a six-year-old. If you have read in the paper that there is a task force within Cape Henlopen School District on looking at building schools, making schools bigger, blah, blah, blah. I do watch three girls personally that have over a 35-minute bus ride home each day due to their location where they live off of 24. And did the applicant, Mr. Ross asked about, you know, the months, April 1st through October 31st, you know, they... that's 5.5 months of school operation. School Cape Henlopen ends June 13th, and it starts September, you know, after Labor Day. So there's five and a half months of operation of that RV campground, and the task force is already trying to look at all these long bus rides for these kids that live out 24. Like if there's going to be additional schools built and whatnot. And I can't speak that specifically. I just read the website and the newspaper and that. So I have a great amount of information to take back to the association, and I appreciate your time. And it just it just infuriated me that they couldn't speak to the details necessary for such a large project. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The audio archive of this tonight's meeting is also going to be available shortly online should you need to gather more information to take back to your association. If there's something that you want to review, feel free to go on the county website and lock into the audio archive.
Yeah. He was speaking to you.
No, I know. No, I was listening. I thought it was coming over here. I'm sorry. I have a hearing.
It's all good. It's just all on the website. If you want to, you can listen to the whole testimony, whole public hearing later on.
I apologize. I'm so flustered right now.
No, don't worry about it.
But thank you. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Thanks, Commissioner.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right, sir. It's your time. Thank you for being so gracious and patient. And all of you, by the way, have been very gracious and patient. And we're not even done yet. So, okay. Go ahead.
Hi. My name is Dick Snyder. I also am a resident of the retreat at Love Creek. And in the interest of time and your dentist appointment, I'll try not to go back over too many of the points that have already been made so very well by my fellow residents, but there are a couple that I'd like to mention. Believe it or not, I actually took the time to sit down and review the TIS. Now, when I say that, anybody that's ever seen one of those things, you know, after a while your eyes go glossy and it doesn't make any sense. So I tried to focus only on the executive summary, and that's where I got a lot of the information. It's apparent from your sidebars up here that there is this love-hate relationship between zoning and DelDOT.
And we love them.
No, I'm sure I'm wrong, but that's just, you know, something that appears. And I understand that the comprehensive plan by law is due for a redo this year in the county. Is that incorrect?
No, they actually have changed it.
It's not due for another 6 years now.
Yeah,
every 10 years now.
Yeah, that's good. That's really scary.
We do updates annually with that, just as to where we are and where we are.
That might be what you're thinking of. There is an annual update.
An annual update?
Yeah, but
well, my point was going to be, and I think it's still a valid point regardless, is that it's clear to me there needs to be a high level of cooperation between the comprehensive plan for the county and DelDOT's plans for the roads. And what I see happening, and by the way, I've provided my comments on the TIS back to DelDOT as well, which, you know, for whatever it's worth. There are some other holes in what I saw, in addition to the ones that have already been mentioned. The most obvious one was the one where basically there's assumed no traffic at all, zero, not even one or two cars or vehicles going west out of the site or coming from the west into the site. Now, I've not driven an RV, so I don't have Mr. Johnson here's benefit of the experience of trying to negotiate roads. But I do know that what I see personally with my own GPS system is if I'm coming anywhere from either Route 9 or Route 1 North, my GPS system takes me usually down Plantation to Robinsonville, up Robinsonville to Cedar Grove, or up Beaver Dam and across Jimtown, even a scarier scenario. And what's happening, and the whole point here is that there's a traffic pattern changing within that portion of the world that I've only been here a short time, and yet I see it happening. One of the reasons that we enjoyed or wanted to live on the west side of Route 1 was because of the road infrastructure that's there that allows you to negotiate around and get to places that you need to go without having to put up with the mess on Route 1. What I see is, and now there are developments, further developments north of us and west of us that probably weren't in some of the numbers that were originally envisioned when some of this planning was done. What I see is an awful lot of people recognizing they want to avoid Five Points. I can really understand that. And they want to avoid getting onto Route 1 any sooner than they have to. And so what they're doing is jockeying through these roads that we're all talking about, Kendale and Jimtown and certainly Robinsonville Road. And I don't see that that's going to change any in the future. And I certainly am encouraging the people at Del Dot to recognize the fact that it's volume, yes, but it's also patterns. And patterns are changing. And we're right in the sweet spot, in my opinion, of those patterns. The other thing I noted in the TIS is that they said that the national trend for traffic is zero. Growth is zero, which may or may not be true. I can't refute it one way or the other. However, comma, I can't imagine that in a county that's growing at 26-27% in the last decade is seeing zero growth in traffic. So magnanimously, they added a 1% growth factor in their study. I really think that is super conservative, considering what we're encountering here firsthand. The other minor point, I think I read correctly in all the millions of numbers that were in the study, is that the traffic data used in the study for Cedar Grove Road had a date of 2005 on it. Now, for anybody that's lived here for any length of time, you know that those numbers are bogus, and that really is not a good basis for anything to be making any conclusions. So the TIS is interesting. I also am surprised that Del Dot said it was okay to use as a surrogate for RV park traffic mobile home parks. If you think about the pattern of use, again, of those two facilities, I would anticipate that it would be quite different. In fact, the whole concept, in my opinion, of peak hour traffic, especially in our area where you're seeing a lot more people like me, you know, old guys that have retired that don't have to get up and go to work in the morning. Peak hour pattern traffic patterns are changing. Same thing is true on the other end of that. So anyway,
I was just thinking.
You're just thinking about retiring?
No.
I was just thinking and have time to read a TIS.
Yeah, and not get paid for
it. You know,
it.
If I had a quarter for everyone who stood up here and said, I've read the entire TIS, I'd have a quarter.
There you are. Okay, a couple more points and I'll shut up. I spoke with Captain Dixon in the Troop 7 in the State Police, which is, you know, this is their serving area. He absolutely had no idea what was going on here. You know, you can comment on them one way or the other, but the fact of the matter is he did, and I caught him off guard. What he offered to do is to take that information and bump it up to corporate, if you will, and see if there's anything that they can offer in terms of prior experience with these kinds of things. The things, however, that immediately jumped to his mind are seasonal crime, which is a very serious problem in our area. And anytime you're talking about a development that potentially, you know, is something the size of Lewis, which is interesting, clearly seasonal crime is a concern. The other point he brought up was noise. You noted on their plan there is an amphitheater there. I'm quite certain that's not for sunrise services. I'm quite certain it will be for...
Could be for a mime.
Sorry?
Could be for a mime.
Could be. I accept that. I accept that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Mr. Johnson, in his experience in RV parks, has seen a lot of that.
Which speaks to the previous lady's point of specificity.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
But lack anyway, thereof. Okay. He was specific to say that, and we talked about the bar, regardless of whether it's a tiki bar or bigger than that. Is that they have had experience in some of the communities, and I will not mention them, in the area, where they do have community bars, where at certain times of the year things get pretty rowdy and pretty out of hand, that they've had to be called in to do it. And I doubt very much of the 24-hour rent-a-cop that we're hearing about policing this site is going to serve the needs of that. So finally, you know, the devil's in the details, and I think there are a lot of details that are missing. It's being portrayed as almost a closed ecosystem. You know, you go in and it's kind of like what happens in Las Vegas, never leaves Las Vegas. You know, and yet we all believe that indeed is not the case. If it were plunked down in the middle of nowhere, not nearby shopping malls and beautiful beaches and boardwalks and amusement parks and these sort of things, yeah, okay, I might buy that. But I'm not buying that now. And I also think I've heard somewhere along the line that some of their advanced PR on this site indeed points out the proximity to those attractions. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say it's a destination location and it's not, you're not going to see a lot of traffic leaving the site. So one other just minor point, I guess, that we all know about the Postal Lane Cedar Grove project, which, you know, finally is going to get underway a year from now and take another year to be completed. Even when that's completed, Postal Lane is not going to be widened. The only thing they're going to improve is that intersection, and all that's going to do is make it easier to zip down, you know, that way. But Postal Lane, and you all have been on Postal Lane, you know, even on good days with traffic, that's a nightmare. So if that's the way we're going to be accessing this site, that presents a real problem too. So anyway, gentlemen, I thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. We thank you.
Mr. Snyder, do you happen to have any expertise in traffic? You mentioned you did the TIA.
I do now. No. Seriously, no, I do not. I do not.
I'm not trying to beat up, but it helps buoy your testimony if you had. So
I agree. Thank you.
Okay, sir. We thank you. All right, you, sir, in the blue, and then you will be next. Now, we have heard all about traffic, okay, as you might have remembered from the instructions you received almost 3 hours ago, that the chairman does have the right to limit testimony if it gets repetitive. We are reaching the point of repetitiveness on traffic. We are all aware of it, okay? We understand it. We get it. But I don't want to prevent anyone from talking. I'm just going to ask you, if you're going to make traffic comments, try to make them brief. In fact, you can just get up and say traffic, and we'll go. Gotcha.
And just before this gentleman speaks, to add to that, just legally, it doesn't matter if one person says it or 100 people say it. You know, it still carries the same weight. You know,
it's still traffic.
It's still the record that we're going to consider. Yep. And then finally, don't feel like you won't be counted if you don't come and speak. Certainly everybody has the opportunity to speak. I don't want to discourage that at all, nor does the commission. But one thing we will also do is ask for a show of hands as well at some point to see who's in favor and who's opposed to it. So you will also be counted in that way, too. So thanks, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, go ahead.
Yes, hi, my name is Billy Westergaard. I'm a resident of Love Creek. And a couple of things that I'd like to, well, I have a number of things I'd like to mention, but I can send that to you in a letter. Is that correct? Until what date?
Well, actually, you can't do that. You'll have to give it all to us tonight because the record may be held open, but there's no guarantee of that. So if you've got something you want to tell us, you go,
it's,
go ahead.
I've listed so many things that I'm not going to bring all those up right now, but a couple of items. Okay.
You get another shot, too, at the county council. Yeah. So you can send your letter because it'll go in the file for the county council hearing.
Okay.
We wouldn't be able to consider it in our deliberation, but it would be available to county council. So there you go.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, now one of the concerns I have is with your map over here.
That's their map. It's not our map.
I was a community developer in New Castle County at one time.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm retired now. I'm looking at that, and I'm wondering where the heck is...
And you must be an expert.
Where the heck is the 100-year floodplain on that map around that creek? Okay? Another thing I notice here is that, 326 acres total that these gentlemen own, and 162 acres are for this development. When you subtract 162 from 326, that leaves 164 acres, which is 2 acres more than what this development is using. What's their plans for that? They're certainly not going to just forget about it. My plans when I developed was, what am I going to do with that total amount of property? Okay? So are they going to be trying to develop another one just like this? I'm concerned about that.
They might. I don't know.
Okay.
Right now, we have an application for this. So
I understand that. I'm concerned about what lies down the road also. Hey, I'll put the rest of my comments in a letter.
And I would suggest that you look at the booklet that's in the file because the question about the flood map is in the record.
Yeah, there's a flood map in there, but take a look. Yeah. All right, sir. Yes, sir.
thank you for your humor. It's made it a lot easier. My name is William Zach, and I am here as a resident of Briarwood, but also speaking for both Briarwood and the retreat at Love Creek with regard to new environmental issues.
Okay.
But before I get started, I wanted to ask a question of the developers.
You can ask me, and then I might ask them if I want the answer.
They mentioned the offset, the 400-foot offset, as part of the zoning regulation for Ward Road residences. Mm-hmm. But has any measurement been taken from the border of the property there across Hetty Fisher Glade? Because there are about 5 or 6 Briarwood properties that are directly on the other side of Heather Glade. And Heather Glade is a very narrow tributary of Love Creek. I'm not sure that, and I would like evidence that, there is a 400-foot offset between the edge of their property and properties in Briarwood.
I'll find out for you.
Okay. I've written the testimony. It's about 5 minutes. Let me put this up.
Because this tells part of the story.
If you look at that map, just north of the Lingo Townsend development proposed at Love Creek and its tributary, Hetty Fisher Glade, is one of the only spots on the tidal rivers feeding. Oh, incidentally, I should mention, I worked for several years for the Citizens Advisory Board of the Center for the Inland Bay, for the Center for the Inland Bays. Okay. Just north of the Lingo Townsend development proposed at Love Creek and so on is one of the only spots on the tidal rivers feeding the inland bays where submerged aquatic grasses are presently flourishing, a reliable sign of a thriving tidal waterway. The reason is not far to seek. The creek at that point upstream is buffered by considerable woodland acreage on both sides, some of which is the woodland conservation area set aside when the retreat at Love Creek was approved for development several years ago. Now, you can see that on the map, that that's all wooded territory above the blue, okay? And there are these grasses there. They're one of the few places in the bays in the tidal rivers where that exists. The story downstream where development has been helter-skelter along the creek banks for decades and where the Lingo development will lie is another story entirely. According to the Center for the Inland Bays 2011 State of the Bays report, the two test sites on Love Creek found water quality there among the more degraded among the bays' tributaries. The creek's shallow waters exhibiting bacterial contamination, low levels of dissolved oxygen in summer, excessive algal growth, and substandard water quality. Between 1998 and 2008, the levels of nitrogen loading were consistently well in excess of acceptable standard and trending upward, with nitrogen well above total maximum daily loads, or TMDL limits, every year between 2006 and 2010. The decimation of 160 acres of woodland that this project involves and its replacement with many, many acres of impervious and nearly impervious surfaces will make a bad situation in Love Creek terribly worse. The state planners who reviewed the project proposal declared in the PLUS report that, quote, such intensive development in this location is unsuitable, page 19, and urged that given its previous identification as a portion of the Love Creek natural area, the plot should be set aside for, quote, permanent preservation, unquote. Their reasons were based on the variety of wetland environments throughout the property, the likely presence of several state-designated endangered species, and the woodland's value for migrating birds. But water quality degradation and bay health likewise militate against development on such an outlandish scale so near these sensitive waters. This is the important sense in the paper. Cleared woodlands can generate as much as 4 times the nutrient runoff as forested floor. I'll read it again. Cleared woodlands can generate as much as 4 times the nutrient runoff as a forested floor. The developers assure us that they will keep as much forested cover as proves, quote, practicable. They're pretty high-handed all around. But the site plans give no reason for optimism on this score. I live in Briarwood. It's a 58-acre development with 3 named streets and just over 70 homes, just south of the Lingo site, across Hetty Fisher Glade. On just 2.5 times that acreage, the proposed RV camp will, by my count, include 27 paved and nearly paved roadways measured intersection to intersection, 3 substantial parking lots associated with community buildings, impervious surfaces, a welcome center, impervious surface, a general store, impervious surface, an amphitheater, semi-impervious, a dock bar, who knows, several pool complexes, impervious surface, 477 40-foot wide RV sites. Those RV sites all have roofs, impervious surfaces. Either 82 or 140 cabins, depending on which report you're reading, as well as a 59-acre RV storage field to be used primarily in the off-season. Impervious surface. You're going to have nothing but roofs on RVs. And if it's full, you got the equivalent of a parking lot. Each 40-foot wide RV lot advertises 10-foot paved parking pod, 10 feet of stone, presumably for a kind of patio, a 4-foot bump out. With the further clearances necessary for maneuvering RVs into the pods, what's really left for anything that could remotely be called anything but modest landscaping? They talk about tree cover. I don't know where you're going to get any continuous tree cover, whatever. You might get isolated trees. Considering parking lots, parking spaces, roads, public buildings, roof areas on the cabins and RVs, and 59 acres of RV potentially stored, we are speaking about a massive amount of impervious surface replacing previously undisturbed woodland. For all the developers talk about stewardship and concern for the natural setting, in his response to the PLUS Report's request to install 100-foot buffers along the waterways, he dismisses that urging out of hand in his response to the report, plumping instead for the legal minimum of 50 feet, and presuming to grant himself occasional exceptions even to that rule when compliance might require modifications to the plan as he submitted it. The high-handedness continues when the developer cavalierly asserts, without specifics, that he plans to meet the pollution control strategy, the PCS, requiring 40% reductions in nitrogen and phosphorus loading into the surrounding waters by a combination of traditional wet basins, where incidentally they plan to rent paddle boats to campers, and some unnamed quote-unquote green technologies that after rejecting the state's preference for rain gardens as a superior form of stormwater management to traditional holding basins. And I might add, in listening to them today, they spoke quite openly about the fact that they're not worried about runoff because whatever doesn't go into the basins will go into Love Creek and Hattie Fisher Glade. Well, what do they think rainwater is? It's nutrients from the air where all the phosphorus and nitrogen is that's going right into the waterways. So if they're not catching it, if they're not keeping it out of the waterways, and the basins will leak into the waterways eventually, it's common sense and certainly contrary to reason that they're going to reduce by 40% when they've created impervious surfaces on at least half of the property of the 160 acres. And then whatever tree cover is left is going to be spotty and sporadic. Because of years of excessive TMDL loading, Love Creek is included in the area's, quote, nutrient reduction zone, wherein no new nutrient pollution is any longer allowed by federal law. Doesn't the applicant have a burden of proof, not merely vague assurances, that he can and will comply with this stipulation of the Clean Water Act? It very nearly defies logic and common sense that with such an increase in impervious and nearly impervious surface at this facility, there will not be large-scale increases in nutrient runoff into both Hattie Fisher Glade and Love Creek itself, even eventually from the wet basins themselves. In the form thus far presented, Lingo's assurances to quote-unquote trust me are about as reliable as those one of his realtors gave me and my wife 12 years ago when she assured us that the very area now proposed for this massive development directly behind our property, across Hattie Fisher Glade, could never be developed in the future. I have lived in view of Hattie Fisher Glade for over 10 years now. The waters in it, even very near its confluence with Love Creek, are so shallow that at low tide, it is little more than exposed mud flats. And I'm talking 25 to 30 feet from shore on both sides. And all that's left is a 20 or 15 foot rill of running water, certainly no more than 6 inches deep. At such times, canoe and kayak access, and they constantly talk about how they'd like to use the resource of the waterways for attracting people. Canoe and kayak access is impossible, let alone any less modest watercraft. Even at high tide, this minor tributary, one fork of which incidentally bisects the proposed development, similarly shallow, and the other forms at southern boundary, could not tolerate heavy human encroachment without significant desecration. I'm almost done here. Other factors as well may dim visitors' enthusiasm about any repeat visits to the facility despite its amenities. There are the periodic emissions of hydrogen sulfide gases from the surrounding marshes that can last all day. That's rotten eggs, folks. You get it. It happens, you know, 3-4 times a month, and it's pretty much all day long when it happens. There are relentlessly aggressive biting flies that swarm the woodlands around here from mid-May to late July each summer. Last year, I had workmen come in to clear 2 dead trees from the woods behind my property. And both of those men walked into those woods and in 5 minutes were coming out of the woods going like this. Because the flies bite, they raise welts, they're nasty, they're aggressive. Anytime I mow, if I'm anywhere near the woods, I get it. The only relief is if you're deeded up, you know, poisoned by some sort of protection.
Can you possibly stand to live there?
I don't live in that wood, I'll tell you that. I fully expected I would make more use of it.
Okay.
I didn't know about the flies at the time. But I'm just thinking about campers. Will campers enjoy a facility boasting a density of this sort, cheek by jowl on a site with no nature trails or nature preserve to hike and explore?
Man says yes, they will. He's nodding his head. He said
they will anyway. Okay, I can buy that.
That's how they are.
That's how they are. Okay, just get the bourbon.
That's how they roll.
Okay. Won't the exodus of day and weekly renters and folks seeking restaurants, discount malls, and beach all from within such confined quarters make for an unpleasant degree of vehicular traffic even inside the facility? What if this project that is presently making the developers salivate over the extraordinary cash flow potential here from ground rents and concessions should not generate enough return business from positive word of mouth to maintain itself as a profitable enterprise? The woodland will be gone forever, traded in 5 to 10 years for a derelict maze of abandoned and deteriorating roadways, empty swimming pools, and acre upon acre of colonizing Phragmites. Even if it should flourish, if planning and zoning permits the project, it will have legitimized the creation of a city whose population will rival that of the town of Lewis on a mere 160 acres of decimated woodland. Planning and zoning would not license the construction of a meth lab in these woods, even if the applicant owned the land.
Let's wrap it up.
It should not license this socially and ecologically irresponsible project.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. No applause, I'm telling you, it's time to go home. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pipe down. We've got a few more people that wish to talk. Okay, remember the ground rules. Yes, sir, you here in the maroon half-zip sweatshirt.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. My name is Ron LaPera. I reside at the Retreat of Love Creek. I basically came here today to listen to and gather information, and I have a couple of points that I'd like to make. I was not planning on speaking tonight, but things that came to mind as listening to all these speakers. My wife and I came to this area because we were looking for an area to retire. It's a wonderful, beautiful area.
If I had a quarter for everyone who ever stood there and said, we came here looking for a place to retire, I'd be retired.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
And with the picture that's being drawn here today by the developer and people that are supporting this venture, I'm appalled at what I'm hearing. To introduce such a travesty to this area is just unbelievable. If I had to title this, in my own view, if I put a title to what I'm hearing tonight from this so-called development, I would like to say it's a disaster waiting to happen, a travesty to this area. We know what the area is like. We know what the traffic's like. I don't want to go into a lot of detail. A couple of things that were not mentioned were the bikers on many of these streets, such as Cedar Grove. The people walking and jogging along these routes, you see this happen quite often. I'm not an RVer, although I sometimes wish I would have that opportunity. In the service, I drove a lot of heavy equipment.
He's got one for sale, he just said.
Does he? You pay for the gas and we have a deal, maybe. I operated a lot of heavy equipment in the service, and I know what it's like to drive heavy trucks such as five-tonners, road graders, that type of thing, and it's not easy. Now, with these RVs, and I believe I understand that there's going to be some trailers involved in this.
Some of them are pulled, yeah. Some of them are trailers that are
That's
pulled.
That's a real question mark in my mind because I can't see it. I can't even imagine it. If we all do something tonight, we should just sit quietly, meditate a little bit, and try to bring a picture to mind of what this is going to be like around here. We would have never moved to this area had we known that such an area could possibly be developed.
Do you have the same realtor the last guy did?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about my realtor.
Apparently.
But it's this is a commercial venture. It's nothing that's going to help the people in the surrounding area, let alone Lewis, Rehoboth. I can't see it. I'm a conservationist, an ecologist, a hiker at heart. I've been involved with nature all my life, and I don't want to go into the number of years that is. There's a certain zoning that exists here. We have to think about why these zones were set up, what our forefathers, if you will, thought, perhaps envisioned, as to what they thought this area should look like. And I'm sure it did not include an RV camp, with all due respect to RV camps. It's out of character for the area. I mean, we do have Henlopen State Park. I just can't even imagine the noise and the pollution and the nonsense, the shenanigans that are going to go on. And I'm trying to think of how this would be policed. I know it takes time for the police to get out here if you have an emergency. I can't imagine how this would be policed. With reference to wildlife, on a number of occasions, we have seen bald eagles flying in the area, headed across Cedar Grove, headed in the direction of, what is that? I guess
it really
Mulberry?
Is important. Which
Mulberry? All right.
We know they're there.
And I believe they're still a protected species. I don't know if they're on the endangered list anymore, but I believe they're protected. It would be a shame to see such wildlife go as this. And there's a lot of other wildlife that you can see in the area. Another thing that came to mind is the proposed speed limit on Cedar Grove. I don't know what it is right now, but I see a lot of cars doing at 50 miles an hour there. And it's difficult to get out even if a car is doing, let's say, approximately 35, 40 miles an hour from our complex, from the retreat at Love Creek. I can't even imagine with introducing all of these trailers and RVs and whatever else they're towing, what that might be like. I guess that's basically what I wanted to share. I'm sure more will come to mind when I get home. And
this is your only trip, so one trip to a couple.
Well,
you can come to the next hearing.
I will.
In fact, I'd like all you to come to the county council hearing and bring your friends.
Yes. Okay? All right.
Bring your friends.
All right. I will definitely be writing to, you said county council?
The county council. There'll be another hearing.
I will send a letter into them.
Seriously, this body makes a recommendation to county council. County council has another hearing.
February 19th.
It is February 19th. And I'm seriously, if you can be there, you should be there. The applicant has the right to change their presentation entirely if they want to. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to hear the same thing again, because it could be that they're going to take some of the things that you've said this evening and try to incorporate them. I don't know what they're going to do, but I just know it might be different, so you should probably be there.
With your understanding, I would like to make a couple of more points, if I may. The area along Love Creek, There's a lot of wildlife there.
We got the wildlife. What's next?
Well, there's a lot of square footage there. There's a lot of linear footage there.
Okay.
And I'm envisioning people that are hiking in the area, people that get off their kayaks, walking in that area. Anytime you introduce one or more people into an area, whether it's to stay for a long period of time or even hiking, you're disturbing wildlife. And this thing is going to take away from what we have here as far as wildlife is concerned. And that's it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sue. All right, who's next? All the way in the back. Yes, ma'am, in the red. Come forward. Mm-hmm. That's a familiar face.
The meeting on the 19th of the hour?
1:30.
1:30 in the afternoon.
Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah, it's 1:30 and it's here.
Yeah, right here. Same place.
And the agenda is also posted on the website, which is sussexcountyde.gov.
But it won't be near as much fun as tonight has been. But, yeah, but sure it'll be as long. It just won't be as much fun.
Oh, okay.
Hi, my name's Sandy Spence. I'm an inhabitant of Sussex County, as the attorney discussed earlier, and so she stole a lot of what I wanted to say. But I live at...
But you're going to say it again anyway.
No, I'm not, because I know you don't like me to repeat.
All right. So you have the floor, Ms. Spencer.
Okay, I'll try to just say things that you haven't heard.
As long as you like.
I'll try to say things that you haven't heard before. I live at Seawood, which is on Robinsonville Road, and you've heard a little bit about Robinsonville Road here, but the developer didn't mention it. That I heard. And it's very difficult to travel on Robinsonville Road and to get onto plantations, for example. Even two summers ago, in the peak time, it took me 10 minutes to get off of there onto Plantations Road because of all the traffic on plantations. And somebody else mentioned, if you're coming from the west, if I were coming from the west, I wouldn't go along 24 the whole way over to Mulberry Knoll Road. I would go up Robinsonville Road. It's 5 miles from my place, or from the intersection of 24 to my place, and that's just a little bit beyond Cedar Grove. anyway, let me get to this point. My main point is that the code requires that you follow the comprehensive plan, and as the attorney said, that's supposed to be for the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and general welfare of the inhabitants. So that's the focus of mine. And we really want to do something that is beneficial to the inhabitants, not just to visitors. You've heard about traffic, so I won't go into it, but I will tell you something that I checked that nobody else mentioned. I looked at all the mileage of all the access roads that come from plantations or from Route 24. So if you count Robinsonville Road coming up to Cedar Grove or Robinsonville Road coming from plantations to Cedar Grove, and if you count Mulberry Knoll Road and then you count Cedar Grove Road and all the way from both directions to Ward Road, which I thought was the entrance, but it's just a little bit off, there's a total of 7.9 miles of two-lane country roads with no shoulder. There's a little bit of shoulder on some of the, you know, right around some of the new subdivisions. And DelDOT has no projects in their long-range plans, as far as I know, to do anything on those roads. So just the wear and tear from the heavier vehicles that are going to be coming along all of these roads is going to create potholes and all kinds of maintenance problems on those roads that will affect the inhabitants of Sussex County, and particularly this area.
Excuse me.
And then in spite of the number of, well, the projected number of trips outside the park is very small, relatively, but if that is the case, which I doubt, the park is really going to have no benefit to our local tourist-related economy. And also, the construction or the development of a RV park will not contribute to the transfer tax, which is the main source or one of the primary sources of income for this county that's helped us keep in such good financial condition. The thing that really bugs me is that they're going to cut out all those trees when they have that whole section up by Mulberry Road, Mulberry Knoll Road that is empty field. So why do they have to cut down all those trees? I just want to point it out here. See, this is part, and all of this is part of their property over on the edge. So, and the reason is that they want to get access to Love Creek, and that is really a concern. People have talked about canoes and kayaks. Well, I have photos here on Attachment B of the unspoiled nature of Love Creek upstream toward the headwaters. And one of the things I can tell you, I just heard a lot of people talking about how shallow it is up there. Part of the reason is that there's somebody up at Gosley Mill Pond, which feeds into Love Creek, that controls the little dam that lets water out of Gosley Mill Pond. And so that is another regulatory issue that needs to be dealt with. The other thing is that I participated in DENREC's Breeding Bird Atlas for the 5 years that just ended last year. And so I have copies or a photo there of some courting and mating great blue herons that I photographed in 2008. It's very unusual for great blue herons to mate outside of a colony. So the fact that they did that right behind the retreat at Love Creek is notable and should be, their opportunity should be preserved.
If I had a quarter. I'd have a quarter. Anyway, I have to admit that has not been said previously this evening.
I thought you might enjoy it.
You're doing great. Go ahead. You're doing wonderful.
Okay. Well, my sister has an RV, and she travels all over the country half the year. And she says that if they can get away with it, that RV owners will dump their garbage all over the place. So just imagine all the garbage. Now, I know you don't do that, but and she doesn't do that either. She's very responsible, but not all people are. The main thing I wanted to also say is that the purpose of the AR districts is, among other things, intended for the protection of watersheds, water resources, forest areas, and scenic values. And our AR regulations are supposed to prevent untimely scattering of more dense urban uses, which should be confined to areas planned for efficient extension of public services. And I understand that RV parks are the most dense form of development that's cheapest, comparable to hotels. But yeah, hotels, of course, are much more expensive. There was something else I wanted to mention. Oh, I wanted to suggest that you keep the record open, because we have learned so much more tonight from hearing from the developer and other concerns that I think it's only fair and reasonable for people to have the opportunity to submit additional testimony after this. And I know that we could do it at the county council, but it needs to be in the record. It's really important. And you can see from all the people here and all the people they represent that aren't able to be here tonight that there just ought to be more opportunity. So I will just close by saying that the RV, that I really doubt that this RV park will serve the inhabitants of Sussex County as required by the code. And instead, it'll attract the tourists who will contribute little to the local economy, cause harm in the form of traffic and traffic safety, reduce property values, and ruin a treasured, environmentally sensitive area. And I think that this proposal for zoning change and conditional use will not benefit inhabitants of the county as the code requires. In fact, it'll just do the opposite, and it will cause great damage and so on. And in fact, we found the document on the internet where the applicant stated that his projects represent a good plan for his investors. And We think that zoning laws exist to protect the inhabitants of the county and not to make investors rich. So I urge you to recommend denial of this proposed project. Thank you very much.
Okay, we thank you. Okay, all the way in the back. Yes, ma'am.
You have to come up here.
You got to come up here, put your name on, get on the record, and then you can have the floor and make your short comment.
Mr. Chairman, after this lady, maybe we could ask for a show of hands as well.
My name is Kit Zack, and I definitely ditto everything that Sandy just said. And I just want to emphasize the point many people have mentioned, alluded to the bar that will be on the dock and also the amphitheater. Want to note that there's no noise ordinance in Sussex County, and noise really carries across the water, so many more people will be impacted because we won't have any control over live bands, et cetera. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now, those of you with your hands in the air, do you really have something different to say? If it's really different, okay, but the first time you start repeating, you're done. Understand? All right, come on. You're done.
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm William Payne. I've been before this group a number of times. Let me pass these over.
Thank you, Mr. Payne.
I have additional handouts for you individually as we get to it. Basically, I'm a newcomer to Sussex County. I've lived here 18 years. I've had comments at other times at public hearings, not before this one, where I lived before. Well, you've only lived there a few years. Why are you coming? Even though I only lived here for a few years, my roots go back very deep in the Eastern Shore. I'm tracing my ancestors back to 1660, where at that time, Lewis was considered part of the Eastern Shore because it was raided and houses were burned because of taxes. My uncle has walked the beaches during World War II to protect this area, where it was so sparsely populated that they thought there might be a German invasion.
We'll stipulate to your pedigree. Let's get to the meat of it, and let's be different, because if we're not, we'll
right.
stop.
Basically, I live...
You live near the property.
Yeah, right here on Love
Perfect.
Creek.
Okay,
my
and
property
you're...
is 200 foot.
Okay, and your concern is that has not been mentioned so far this evening.
Okay, so two things, traffic and environmental resources.
Okay, that's...
So I'll leave the traffic go and go to the other.
Correct.
I am opposed to the changes and the zoning change because you have an environmental sensitive area, and I think it you should be increasing the restrictions on this property. It's been included in the program, so it shows it's vulnerable as far as its health is concerned. Many developers think differently in Sussex County. They seem to think environmentally sensitive is the same as anything else. They have asked for multiple units, higher density, and now a campground, which is commercial.
Okay, we've had plenty of confessing of the developer's sins,
okay.
So we're going to move off from that, too. What else do we have this week?
Okay. Let me pass this out to you.
Okay.
This actually shows the lane by Love Creek, which is this buffer here. Again, I was before here to fight the development of access to Love Creek and to protect Love Creek at that time. If you see, that looks like about 300 or 400 foot buffer there. This was fought hard, and Ronald Art came in, a known planner, and through his effort, county council asked for, and the developer moved back his development away from Love Creek to get the buffer, which was discussed here by a number of people tonight.
Okay. What else?
Okay. I also have copies for you of the wetland health report card. This shows that the about 60% of the wetlands have been disappeared in Sussex County. And the wetland is very important to the health of the bays. If you look inside, you also see on the report card that they give the River Lane, the small creeks, a D as a rating because they do not meet the standards. They give the health of the tidal wetland a D plus. And if you look on the last page, you will see also that one of the things to consider on the buffer along the tidal wetlands is the rise of the ocean due to the climate change. Also, it shows that much of the channeling of water is not always in the stream, it's under the stream in these wetlands. Now, if you look at the map again, this looks like a very small stream. But this, all the land from Plantation Road flows through this stream. Runoff. We are getting many more heavy storms. Water runs off my roof and valleys like a fire hose now. Before it never did that. So you're getting a lot more runoff, and it all has to come through here. This area, of course, from the retreat, I've seen flooded to the point that it goes over part of the road. It has to drain somewhere in the ground. Cedar Grove Road, the farm there, even though it's ditched, has water standing in it many times. This all has to drain through there. Not only does surface water drain this way, but talking with the University of Delaware experts, the groundwater underneath all flows in the same contour. So all of this, whether it's running off or going into the ground, is coming towards Love Creek.
Okay.
So I'm asking not only to deny the zoning change, but to ask for larger buffers along Love Creek because of the need.
Okay.
Now, the gentleman ahead of me also spoke of some of the damages in Love Creek, of the high contents. And one of the wildlife, everybody see the heron and the, let me pass, you can pass these out. These are the actual, you can see the actual, on the first page, the actual concentration in Love Creek of phosphorus. It's very high.
That's right.
To the point that it's actually degrading.
And that's already been mentioned, so let's move
on. Okay, but these are actual figures.
Got it. It's in the
record. That, which the other gentleman did not see.
Well, we've seen it. It's okay. In the record. Moving on. What's
now,
next?
The next item then would be there is an undocumented meadow of horn pond weed, which is in the other part of Love Creek. This is very recent development, and it, again, is documented in here.
Okay.
This is fed by a large spring up there. I have testified before to you to this effect. But it's the lower part that is not.
Okay.
And it's the tidal change. You go up and down. As people say, this creek is very low, but at times it gets very high. And during the last storm, was probably about 4 foot above normal level up there. So it will be pushing the water into the tidal lane, and any pollution downstream will be pushing upstream.
Okay.
Just a minute. So I request that any development, whether it's this or others, should have about 200 to 300 foot buffer from Love Creek to help protect that, the same as council has approved before. So this is not something new.
All right.
So that's basically, I'm just asking you again to consider denying the change and to any development that is put in, the larger buffer is required.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, something different.